Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hey, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to the broadcast this week. We are still in this incredible series about what to do when nothing seems to work. And I love this series. I have referred it to so many people because of the help and the benefit that people get. You know, people get stuck, man. I mean, people love God. They're sincere. They're trying to make this journey. And sometimes, you know, we just run into this wall because we're stuck behind our paradigm. And today we're going to be talking about one of the number one reasons people who love God, people who have even heard from God and know what they're supposed to do, why they get stuck and why they get off track. It's called controlling the process, and this message, as well as this entire series, can be found at impactministries.com. Anytime you want to use it for an iGroup, to broadcast on a program, anything you want to do that's going to help and bless people with this, we would love to work with you and love to hear from you about this. So get ready, get your notepad out, get your heart open. We're going to talk about how to move forward. I am so thankful that we got the opportunity to offer you one of the most powerful life-transforming series that we have. This CD series, What to Do When Nothing Seems to Work, is yours for $39. That's a great special price, and we will use those resources to reach the world, to start Bible schools around the world. While you're developing your life from this series, people all over the world will be having their life transformed. You know, I talk to so many people around the world that are so frustrated. And there is nothing more frustrating to recognize the truth in the Word of God, recognize what we're offered through the Lord Jesus, and not be able to experience it in our real life. And you know as well as I do that it doesn't matter what we have, it doesn't matter what God has given us. The real question is, can I experience this in real life? And if we can't experience the truth in real life, then that truth really, instead of setting us free, it actually weighs us down. And what's even more frustrating is because of what we've been taught about anointings. You know, we've been taught that we get set free because some minister, some preacher, some evangelist, some prophet, some apostle has the anointing. And if they have the anointing, then they're going to break the yoke off of our life, and that they've got some aspect of God that we don't have. I want to tell you something. That is not scriptural. That's not New Testament. The real truth is we all have the same anointing. We have the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Him. We share in that anointing. And so, but preachers have been taught this, and they've been taught that if people don't get set free under their ministry, that it's their fault, that they're lacking somehow. Well, you know something you may not intend to if you're a minister, but if you think it's your anointing that gets people set free and then they don't get set free, on a deep subconscious level, you're going to have a need to blame them and to shift the responsibility off on them. So even more than the fact that people are frustrated from not being able to get the Word to work in their life, people are frustrated from being made to feel that there's something wrong with them when it doesn't work. And I'll tell you, I don't think preachers mean to do this. You know, most of the people that I know in the ministry are there to help people, but they get under the pressure, and people even put them under the pressure that the preacher should be able to fix them. Well, I got news for you. We can't fix anybody. And under the new covenant, you can only experience with God what you experience in your heart, and no one else can bring it to you. Now, ever since the Garden of Eden, man has wanted to choose his own process of how truth would work in his life. Because after all, the one thing that came to us that really gave us that as the fruit of the sin nature is choosing good and evil. And that word evil is not just bad and wicked, but it's about beneficial, whether something is beneficial or not beneficial, whether it's chaotic or acceptable. It gets bigger than just right and wrong and good and bad. But whenever whenever we yield it to that temptation, we got the capacity to choose good and evil. And even though we get born again, we still have that capacity, and we tend to want to use that. And so we want to choose the right way or the wrong way to get help. You know, Proverbs 16:25 says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, just because something seems like it's going to be the right thing doesn't mean it is. Just because something seems like it's good doesn't mean it's always good. You know, I heard this story years ago about a Chinese boy who goes out and he finds a horse and he brings the horse home and he says to the father, he says, "Look, we're so fortunate. We've got a horse." And the father's like, "Well, maybe." And so the boy starts riding the horse and to try to break it and get it where they can put a saddle on it, and he gets thrown off the horse and he breaks his leg, and then everybody comes to the father and says, "Oh, well, you're unlucky. See how unlucky you are? See, everything's going bad for you because your son broke his leg." The father says, "Well, maybe." And then war breaks out in the country, and they come around and they're going to draft all the young men and send them off to war, and they take all the young men in the village except the son. Then everybody comes to the father again and says, "Look, you are so lucky and so fortunate because they didn't draft your son." He says, "Well, maybe." And then because the son is there, he got his pick of all the women, and so he goes to get married, and everybody says, "See how fortunate and how blessed you are. Your son gets to choose any woman he wants." And father says, "Well, maybe." And it turns out that she's the meanest, most hateful woman in the village. And everybody says, "See how unlucky you are." You see, that, you know, there are ways that seem right to us. But just because they seem right, we don't really know unless it's based on the Word of God and motivated by love, we don't really know if we've chosen the right path. You know, you can even do the right thing for the wrong reason or do the right thing the wrong way, and it can still bring destruction. You know, preachers want people to be godly, but sometimes they use fear or pressure or negativity to try to motivate them instead of trusting God's process and making people feel loved and accepted. So they want the right thing, they have the right intentions, but they use the wrong process. You know, parents want their kids to be safe, so sometimes they use control instead of nurturing and training. Husbands want their wives to love them, so sometimes they use domination and control. You know, I can just go down the list of things that we have a tendency to do where we know the right thing and we want the right thing, but the process that we tend to choose because we're not really listening to and following the voice of God in our heart tends to take us in a destructive road. There's a real interesting story in the book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25, Jeroboam. God is going to raise up Jeroboam, and he's going to make him king of Israel. Now, this is such an incredible story because a prophet comes to Jeroboam and tells him, "God is raising you up." This is after Solomon had died, and Solomon's son Rehoboam was harsh and cruel, and so part of the tribes of Israel wanted to pull away. So imagine this, a proven prophet of God comes and says, "You're going to be the next king of Israel, and we're going to let Rehoboam have Jerusalem to be king over Jerusalem, but you're going to be king over the rest of the 10 tribes." Well, man alive, I mean, how much more anointed, how much more right can it be? And so Jeroboam, man, he's all excited about this, but then he gets to thinking, you know what, eventually when they go to Israel every year to offer sacrifices, or when they go to Jerusalem every year to offer sacrifices at the temple, their heart's going to turn back to Jerusalem and back to the household of David, and they'll want Rehoboam for king, and they're going to kill me. So he goes and seeks out some advice, and here was the advice he got. Somebody said, "Here's what you can do. Put you a golden calf, one at Dan and one at Beersheba." That's the most northern part and most southern part of the kingdom of Israel. And he says, and tell the people that these calves are their gods and that they should worship these gods. And this will keep them from going back to Jerusalem and worshiping in the temple and turning their hearts back to the household of David. Imagine that. A prophet of God comes and tells you you're going to be king. And then you try to find security by trying to lead people away from God. I'm telling you, that is just so phenomenal. And you know, I see, as a pastor, I see this all the time. You know, one of the most, I think, prevalent reasons that people who love God, people who are sincere, and even people who have heard from God about what they should do, why it doesn't come to pass, why it gets off track, why their life gets off rails, is because of the attempt to control the process. You see, we want what God has promised us, but we want it to come in a plan that we understand. We want it to come in a plan that makes us feel safe. Well, see, Proverbs 7 tells us, it says, lean not to your own understanding. And see, that's the problem. We want to a plan that fits our understanding. You know, your entire life, that wasn't Proverbs chapter 7, it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. But our entire life, we have had these experiences, and every experience that we've had, we have a mental record of it. And in this mental record, we've come to believe some things about ourselves, and we've come to determine what is safe and what is unsafe. And basically, what is safe to us are the things that we have tried and they have worked out for us. So we've got this way that we want things to go, and so no matter what God says to us, immediately in our mind, we come up with this idea about how God is going to bring this to pass. Now, the moment we go to that place, the moment we decide how it's going to come to pass, we actually stop listening to and stop following God, and we begin to follow our own understanding, our own intellectual processes. And so, so we've heard from God, but we're not following Him. Now, let me tell you something about success. I've learned this about success. You know, the Bible says wisdom comes from the mouth of the Lord. Remember, wisdom is the practical application of truth. Well, to apply truth effectively, I've got to understand the environment. If I'm going into business, I've got to know who to trust and who not to trust. I've got to know the market. There's all these things I've got to know. And you know, the real truth is, in so many situations in my life, I'm not smart enough. I don't have all that information. And if I did, I can't calculate it in real time in a way to get the results that I want. But you know something? God can. God knows. You know, God is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's all-knowing. He knows the entire process. He knows everybody involved in the process. And He not only knows what's going on right now, He knows what's going to be going on tomorrow or a year from now. And when we follow Him day by day, then He can lead us in the paths that will work and lead us to success that day. You see, we all know the scripture says, by His stripes we are healed. Now, I'll tell you something. There have been so many times in my life, now, I could give you more times than you would believe that I have faced life and death circumstances. And I'm telling you, God would just give me something incredible in my heart, and I would walk out of that situation in a miraculous way. But then there have been times that I have faced life and death or challenging circumstances when I knew in my heart that for whatever reason, if I tried to go for the miracle, I'd probably die, or it wouldn't come out right. And either God would lead me to somebody that could help me, or he would lead me to a process, or sometimes I would know to take the medical route. You see, it's all about following God. See, we get it in our mind that if I don't get this instantaneous miracle, then I don't have faith. Let me tell you something. God is working with where your faith really is. There's nothing wrong with the fact that in this situation, you may not be able to get a miracle. There's nothing wrong with that, because you may be facing something more overwhelming than you've ever faced in your life. But you know something? God still wants you to come out ahead. And God, if you'll listen to Him, God will always lead you down the path that will work for you today in this very moment. You know, I love Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm is just such an incredible psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, that word want is the same as the word lack. And so it's presenting this concept that if I follow God as my shepherd, then He's going to lead me away from lack. In other words, if lack is here, God's always going to be taking me that way, away from it. You know, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, it talks about Abraham, and it says Abraham pitched his tent toward Bethel. And I can't recall the name of the city that was behind him, but the name of the city that was behind him, I believe, was Ai. It means in the Hebrew, trash heap. And Bethel means the house of God. Just the fact that he was pursuing or moving toward that Bethel, he automatically was moving away from the trash heap of the world. Well, I got news for you. The Lord your shepherd, and that's His name. He is the Lord, the shepherd who guides us. And He always guides us away from lack, and He always leads us down through green pastures and beside still waters. You know, Psalm 23:3 says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, you see, whenever we get distressed, and understand something, temptation is not just the solicitation or the desire to do evil. Temptation is what occurs in us when, because of our beliefs, the way we see or think about something, yes, we may feel the inclination to do something evil, but it doesn't start there. It usually starts with the feeling of being scrutinized. And so the word tempted means to be tested, it means to be tried, it means to be scrutinized, which are all things that religion will tell you that God does to you, but in fact He doesn't, because the Bible says He tempts no man. He's not scrutinizing you. You know, the Apostle Paul said, listen, if He made me righteous, why would He be looking for fault in me? I mean, that's crazy. That's bizarre. Our righteousness is of Him. You know, if God were to say to me today, Jim, I'm not happy with your righteousness, I would have to say, well, then you got to do something about it, because the only righteousness I have is what you gave me. I don't have a righteousness of my own. I didn't earn anything. I didn't get here on my own. You gave this to me. So if you don't like the righteousness I have, then do something in me. Now, that's not being haughty or mean or argumentative. It's just knowing that our righteousness is of Him. So God's not going to make you righteous and then scrutinize you. But that word, you test it, tried, and all of that leads you to the solicitation to do evil, or the solicitation to take a shortcut and not trust God. But ultimately, we understand temptation as anything that causes us to strive. You see, God doesn't want you to strive. So when you feel like you can't make it, when you're facing an obstacle, when you are surrounded and you find yourself standing in the valley of the shadow of death, whether it's financial death, emotional death, relationship death, or physical death, you get there and you go, man alive, you know, this wears me out. What does He do? He restores your soul. And as He restores your soul, and see, this starts happening inwardly, then in that place of peace, we're going to start following Him, and He's going to lead us down the paths of righteousness. Now, the word righteousness means as it should be. I want to tell you something. When my life is chaotic, it's just not as it should be. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. That's what He's talking about. It should be here just like it is there. Now, I have no control over that outside of me, but I got control over that inside of me by the choices I make and by what I choose to believe. Now, one of the greatest exercises, and remember, we talked about last week how that we just got to start with being willing. Well, one of the greatest exercises that I have ever discovered is a very, very simple exercise that we just do at night, just before we get ready to go to bed, and we simply write down in longhand exactly what the outcome that we want in our life. Remember, faith always starts with seeing the end from the beginning. Now, I want you to realize something. Every time you get ready to say something, according to the latest medical things that I've read, you actually, and it happens so fast, you have no consciousness of it, but you have some visual concept of everything that you're going to say. Now, the truth is, we can believe and will believe the things that we see. Now, we will either see these things with our eyes or we will see these things with our heart. And God wired us in such a way that when we sleep, we are designed for some things to happen when we sleep, some things that are, I think, pretty incredible. You know, we're designed when we sleep so that whatever the worthless things of the day, they just go away. They're released from our conscious and other than conscious mind. We are wired in such a way, and God created us in such a way that when we sleep, God can actually work in our heart. You know, there's a scripture, and I don't recall the verse. Maybe I can have it by next week. But there's a verse in the book of Job where he talks about God teaching us in our sleep so that basically we can't take the credit for it. We can't get our ego all inflated about it. And you know, this is something I learned as a new believer. Man, as a new believer, and to this very day, you know, I still do this, but as a new believer, this whole exercise started out for me just, you know, I would go to, when I get ready to go to sleep at night, I would just say, Father, I know I'm not really catching everything I need to catch as I'm reading your word. I know that I want more to be happening in me. I want my life to be transformed more. I want you working in me. So I used to tell the Lord, so every night I would say, yeah, so while I'm asleep tonight, I give you permission to work in my sleep, to work in my dreams, to teach me, to develop me in ways that I can't even develop on my own. Well, you know something? I did not realize until years, years, years later that the way God designed our brain is so that when we sleep at night, we actually go through a process of letting go of things that are insignificant in our life. And then, in the middle part of the night, we actually have, psychologists would call them precognitive dreams. I call them prophetic dreams. We have prophetic dreams where those things that we have, that we deeply desire, those things that we want to have happen in our lives, where we have symbolic dreams where we see these things coming to pass. And then, the last part of the night, we have symbolic dreams where we are letting go of the things that would hinder us from being able to live those things that we saw in the middle of the night. So those are venting dreams. So every night we have prophetic dreams based on the things that we're passionate about, based on the things that we want to have happen in our life. And then later that same night, we will have venting dreams where we release the things that interfere with us being able to fulfill that. Man, I've had so many incredible things happen in my life through dreams. But once I discovered that this was natural, this was the way that God created me, then I realized that I could do something to influence my dreams, influence the whole dreaming process, so that God could teach me in ways that bypassed my intellectual mind, that came up out of my inner man, influenced my heart, and made me able not only to see where I was going, but overcome the obstacles. Listen, come back for my mentoring moment. You know, I want to invite you to go to our website, or be sure and watch for an email. This month, the month of December, we run incredible specials on all of our products, and we run the best discounts of the year on all of our heart physics products. Now, somebody might say, now, Jim, isn't that selling the Word of God? No, we present the Word of God for free right here every single week so you and people all over the world can hear it. But people who want to dive a little bit deeper, or people who want to invest in their own lives a little bit more, they can get these resources and really make this journey of becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we do. We make disciples. We're not just trying to get people to wave their hands at Jesus. We want you to become a disciple. But I also want you to know that every time you invest a single dollar into any of these products that help you so much, we use that money to reach to the ends of the earth, win people to Jesus, and make disciples unto the Lord Jesus. This incredible series, What to Do When Nothing Seems to Work, is an 8-CD teaching filled with nuggets that you can put into practice to write God's Word on your heart, to get you past your stuck state and get you moving on with your life and dreams. Listen, for the month of December, this 8-CD series can be yours for $39. It would make a great gift as well as a great investment in your life. And then those resources will be used to invest in people all over the world. This simple exercise can be done every single night. When you're facing an issue, all I want you to do is, when you get to sleeping, about 15 minutes before you're getting ready to go to sleep, I want you to write down, let's say you're facing a problem with finances. And so you might write a statement, and you always make it personal, you always make it present tense, you always make it positive. In other words, you always focus on God's promise. And the statement might say something like this: I thank you, Father, that I always recognize legitimate opportunities and I always prosper at everything I do. Something like that. And write that three times, about 15 minutes before you go to sleep. And it's real simple. You just lay it down and go to sleep. Now, what happened, and when you write that, and by the way, you want to always write it in cursive. Don't write it in print. There's a reason for writing in cursive. It's the way it affects you and bypasses your brain and actually influences your subconscious mind. And what will start happening, within a few nights, you will start to have dreams. And in the middle of your sleep cycle, you will have dreams about fulfilling this thing that you have written down. And they'll be symbolic, and even if you wake up, and a lot of people find themselves waking up in the middle of the night when they do this, because believing for something bigger than they've ever believed for can be pretty challenging, and it'll wake them up. But you probably won't remember it. It'll be symbolic. And then in the last part of your sleep cycle, you're going to start having crazy dreams, and it's all going to be symbolic. It might be something about morality or anything, and this is where you're letting go of something that is standing in the way of you fulfilling the dream that you had in the middle of the night. And you just do this. You might do it for a few weeks. You might do it for a few months. And then one day you'll know in your heart that there's no reason to keep doing this. I have done this dozens and dozens of times and seen incredible transformation in my life. Let me give you this scripture in Job 33:14. It says, "For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn men from his deed and conceal pride from man." That is so incredible. God wants to teach you in your sleep.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.